We're going to dedicate this session just to Raghunath Das Goswami because there's so much about him. This is our Six Goswamis of Vrindavan series. And we'll finish up next week with six of the Goswamis. Jiva Goswami may do a program on Narottam Das Thakur, Krishnadas Kaviraj as well. But here's some of the facts about Raghunath Das Goswami. He was from Saptagram, which was a big inland seaport near present-day Calcutta. And his father leased the port from the Muslim ruler for 12 lakhs of rupees a year. Muslim ruler didn't want to bother with all the commerce and mercantile business. So he just got one fixed sum of 12 lakhs. And then whatever they made over and above that was a profit. And they made huge. I mean, it was just like huge. I don't even know if the Muslim realized, you know, how much they were cashing in on this, but they were like kings themselves. They were like multi-millionaires. They rented this from the emperor of Goda. And the two brothers, one of whom was the father of Raghunath, was Hiranya, and the other was Govardhan. Raghunath Das was born into this rich family as the only son in 1417. And he learned from Balaram Acharya. Balaram Acharya was a teacher, and at one point, apparently, Haridas Thakur visited the home of Balaram Acharya, and Raghunath Das Goswami met Haridas Thakur. Here's a little map that shows you where Saptagram was. Like, there's a lot of inlets to the Ganges at that point, and so even though it was inland, it was very accessible by sea ships. The news reached Saptagram already. Raghunath had some contact with Haridas Thakur, and then later the news came that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, and he'd gone to Advaitacharya's house at Shantipur. And all this is happening in Bengal, not too far from Saptagram itself. So Raghunath went to see Lord Chaitanya. He got Lord Chaitanya's foot on his head, and Lord Chaitanya lifted him and embraced him. So Lord Chaitanya knew that this would be a key figure in his Sankirtan movement. But Raghunath could not go to Lord Chaitanya at this time. He didn't get Lord Chaitanya, although his hankering was monumental for that. He stayed with Lord Chaitanya in Advaita's house for a week. He wanted to give up the kingdom, even though he's the only heir, even though he knew it would break his relative's father and uncle's heart. He just wanted to give it up and go to Mahaprabhu. But he wasn't able to do it at this point in time. Finally, after several attempts, he ran away, got caught, he got brought back. Finally, he met Lord Nityananda, who was in the area also. And he asked Lord Nityananda if Lord Nityananda could deliver him the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nityananda said, you know, you are a thief. You don't deserve the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are a thief. And his meaning was that you access Lord Chaitanya through Nityananda. You have to get Nityananda's mercy first before you can see Lord Chaitanya. So his previous one or two attempts to join had failed because he hadn't gone through Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda says, Chaitanya is my property. Lord Nityananda is Balaram, the older brother of Krishna, and he considers that he owns the younger brother, and anyone that wants to get him has to be vetted, you might say, by Lord Nityananda. So Lord Nityananda called him a thief, and he was going to administer punishment to him, but he's also indicating that now Raghunath is taking the proper procedure. And if you think back on Sanatan and Rupa and so many of the other Goswamis, they all, most of them, contact Lord Nityananda at some point. And through Lord Nityananda, they got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So, calling him a thief, he told him to get down and he put his foot on his head, which normally would be an insult, but if the foot is the foot of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that's a blessing. So then Raghunath, he said, if by your mercy, Lord Nityananda, I may get the blessings of Lord Chaitanya. And so the punishment of Raghunath Das Goswami for being a thief was to create a huge feast. And this became famous as the Chip Rice Festival, which took place on the banks of the Ganges. And it's still celebrated. Thousands and thousands of people come. They take these two particular types of foodstuffs. They sit on the bank of the Ganges. They picnic out. It's like a big picnic. And of all the temples in America, the Atlantis Temple has a big Panihati festival every year, big chip race festival in memory of this. So Lord Nityananda is sitting out there, and he's enjoying, and he's eating, and everything, and he's been invited already to dinner. He's late for a dinner invitation already, and he's eating, like he's got seven pots, and he's eating, and his host comes and says, "You're supposed to come for dinner, you know." And this is what Lord Nityananda responds. He says, "Please forgive me. I belong to a community of cowherd boys." In other words, referring to his incarnation as Balaram and Krishna. "And therefore, I generally have many cowherd associates with me. I'm happy when we eat together in a picnic like this by the sandy bank of the river." So he's asking his host to please have patience, because this is a very relishable situation for him. Now, these are a couple of pictures of the different types of foodstuffs that were offered. In one type of clay bowl, there was chip rice with condensed milk, and in the other, chip rice with yogurt. So it looks really sumptuous, doesn't it? And there's all kinds of fruit in there, and the yogurt is that wonderful Bengali misti dahi, homemade yogurt, which is unparalleled in the world. Lord Nityananda sat on a raised platform with his associates. Hundreds and hundreds of people came. Just hundreds and hundreds. And there wasn't even enough room in the bank of on the bank. So a lot of people were in the water. They were up to their shins, up to their knees, up to their thighs, up to their waist. Eating, everyone eating and chanting and just having a great time. And this is the tree under which Lord Nityananda, there was a platform on the tree, and Lord Nityananda sat there. Everybody got two pots, but Lord Nityananda, he had seven pots. So unseen to most of the people there, unseen to most of the people, but seen to some of the people, and certainly seen to Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya arrived. Because the whole thing was, Raghunath wanted to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and so Nityananda said, "This is your atonement for not going through me," and now he's going through and you made the atonement. So Lord Chaitanya actually comes to Raghunath Das Goswami's Chip Rice Festival. And while he's there, Lord Nityananda takes a morsel of chip rice and pushed it into the mouth of Lord Chaitanya as a joke. And Lord Chaitanya, also smiling, took a morsel of food and pushed it in the mouth of Nityananda. And he laughed. Lord Nityananda laughed. And they're both laughing like anything. And other people who can't see Lord Chaitanya are saying, "Boy, Lord Nityananda is acting really strange right now, you know." And he was known for that. When all the Vaishnavas were chanting the holy names, Hari, Hari, and eating, they remembered how Krishna and Balaram ate with their companions, the cowherd boys, on the bank of the Yamuna. So it is said that no one can attain the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without the mercy of Lord Nityananda. But if Lord Nityananda is merciful, even the lowest of men can attain shelter at his lotus feet. When we did our previous PowerPoint on Lord Nityananda, we mentioned that he's like the bodyguard. You have to go through him to get to Lord Chaitanya. But unlike other bodyguards, he doesn't want to turn anyone away. If you're not qualified, he makes you qualified by his mercy. So he's big and strong and powerful, and he's overprotective like an older brother. But he wants everybody to reawaken their relationship with Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So he'll work with you. He may not let you through right away, but he'll work with you and he'll make you qualify. And actually, the spiritual master is the personification of Lord Nityananda. That's what the spiritual master does. He works with you to get you into shape, to qualify you to go to the spiritual world. And so apparently, having spent lakhs and lakhs of rupees and sponsored this festival and placed his head at the feet of Lord Nityananda and begged Lord Nityananda for access, apparently then the qualifications became manifest. So then Nityananda said of Raghunath, this is a quote up in the upper right hand, Nityananda said, "Raghunath Das's standard of material happiness is equal to that of Indra, the king of heaven." And then he goes on and says, "Because of the mercy bestowed upon him by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das, although situated in such material happiness, does not like it at all. Therefore, let every one of you be merciful toward him and give him the benediction that he may very soon attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So he asked all the hundreds and hundreds of Vaishnavas there. He introduced them, he made Raghunath known to them, and he asked them all to give them his blessings. And he compared Raghunath to Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was the king of the world. India is still named Bharat. The Hindi word for India is Bharat, after the king. He was the king of India at a time when India went all the way to Europe and all over Southeast Asia. There was no limit. It was the king of the whole. He gave it up in order to search after Krishna consciousness. And so Nityananda said, Raghunath is like Bharat. He's given up a kingdom, a virtual kingdom, in order to get the mercy of the Lord. So then again, he placed his lotus feet upon Raghunath Das's head and said these words, quote, "One who experiences the fragrance of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna does not value even the standard of happiness available in Brahmaloka, the topmost planet, and what to speak of heavenly happiness." My dear Raghunath Das, since you arranged the feast on the bank of the Ganges, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here just to show you his mercy. So he's got the mercy. And we'll see he's one of the greatest, most exemplary, interesting of all the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya told him that he should feign interest in his family life, get them off their guard, pretend to have given up thoughts of going with Lord Chaitanya, immerse himself in the family business, and then let them relax their guard. And then when Lord Chaitanya came back, Lord Chaitanya was leaving for Vrindavan, said, when he comes back, then you'll jump ship and come and join me in Jagannath Puri. These are the towers of the Jagannath Puri temple. So Raghunath attended the business, and his brothers, his father and his uncle became satisfied. They thought, now he's going to take over the family business. And he was very good at business when he wanted to be very good. In the meantime, though, he was initiated by Yamunacharya, who is a great Vaishnava devotee as well. So finally, after some time, and Lord Chaitanya was now back from Vrindavan, he was back in Jagannath Puri, and it was time for Raghunath to go. On some pretext, he wanted to go out on an errand for his guru, and he persuaded his bodyguard not to come with him. And then after doing the errand, he just took off into the woods and into the jungles. And he came very quickly, within 12 days, he came to Jagannath Puri. He was famished, he had hardly eaten anything, his feet were all cut up by walking barefoot through jungles and so on and so forth. And Lord Chaitanya gave him into the care of Sarup Damodar. Sarup Damodar was Lord Chaitanya's constant associate. Sarup Damodar was like his secretary, and it was from Sarup Damodar that a lot of the nectar of the biography of Lord Chaitanya comes and appears in Krishnadas Kaviraj's Chaitanya Charamrita. From Sarup Damodar it goes to Raghunath, because Raghunath is an intimate associate of Sarup Damodar and of Lord Chaitanya. And so then Raghunath narrates all these pastimes that the Lord performed in Jagannath Puri to Krishnadas Kaviraj. And so many of the stories that are in the Chaitanya Charamrita are actually from the mouth of Raghunath, as described by Sarup Damodar. So Raghunath, even though he was from such a wealthy family, he was the soul of renunciation. And at first he was waiting in a certain preordained spot and just begging his food, just accepting whatever comes its way. But then after a while he thought, there's too much calculation. You know, people are walking by and then you say, will he give or won't he give, or will he give or won't he give, or will he give or won't he give? And he says, it's too much of a distraction. So he went right to this, he went to the stairways of the Jagannath Puri temple. And he was standing on the stairways there and just taking whatever anyone would give him. This is how he was thinking. The calculations of one who will give bhiksha of Aya Chakavritti impede bhajan. Better to go to a chetra where alms are given at appointed times. So there are certain times when people would just come up on the stairs in the entrance and give alms at that time. So he just went there at that time, and then he was able to save a lot more time and a lot more mental power for his bhajan and worship of Krishna. So the father and the uncle, they still kept sending Raghunath 400 rupees a month, which was a lot of money. It's like, you know, maybe $10,000 a month in today's calculation. But he left most of it untouched. He didn't spend any on himself. But every 2 weeks, he would have a big feast for Lord Chaitanya and all of his associates. And he did that for 2 years, and then finally he stopped. And then Lord Chaitanya was inquiring, it's been some time since Raghunath has invited me to the feast. What's going on? And then they told Lord Chaitanya that Raghunath has stopped taking money from his father, and he's given all that up as a distraction for pure devotional service. And he's not even standing on the steps of the Puri temple anymore, begging for alms. So Lord Chaitanya said, what is he doing? He said he goes to the back. If you've been to India, you'll see the kitchens. They have a little, they're just like stone floors. And then there's a little hole, a little groove, like a little, I don't know what you call it, drain, sort of a groove, like a ditch. And then there's a hole on the side of the wall. And so what they do is after anything that's fallen down, whether it's cooked or uncooked, or whatever, they just sweep it through the hole with some water, and it comes out. So he was on the other side, catching, you know, some morsels of that. And he was taken home, and he was sustaining himself on these leavings from the kitchen floor in the Puri temple. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he went to the hut of Raghunath Das Goswami, and he said, I have heard that you are taking Mahaprasad and not sharing it. And Raghunath, you can see the look on his face in this painting. He said, no, I don't know who told you that. This is not Mahaprasad. You know, this is not fit for you, Lord. And Lord Chaitanya says, I think that you're holding out on me here. And Lord Chaitanya found that and forcibly took it from him and began to eat two or three mouthfuls and relishing it as being authorizing it as indeed relishable Krishna Prasadam. Lord Chaitanya liked Raghunath's renunciation so much that he gave him two items that Lord Chaitanya himself had worn and worshipped for 3 years. And these items were bathed with the tears of love that Lord Chaitanya would shed when he was chanting and thinking of Krishna. And here's a picture. These are the very two same items. The one is a shila, shalagram shila, the stone there. And the other is the Ganga mala, the beads that Lord Chaitanya wore around his neck. So these are very personal items of Lord Chaitanya. And he gave these to Raghunath Das. So after, I believe it was 16 years in Puri, Lord Chaitanya left the planet in 1544, at the age of 48. And Raghunath Das Goswami then, he didn't stay in Puri any longer. He went to Vrindavan. He was destined to stay in Vrindavan for 41 years. But when he first arrived in Vrindavan, he was so devastated at the absence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he just went to Vrindavan to kill himself. He was going to throw himself off of Govardhan Hill and kill himself. But Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they dissuaded him because they said, you were with Lord Chaitanya for 16 years. And you saw all these pastimes, so you got to stay and tell us all about them. And so that became his habit. For 3 hours every day, he would narrate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, things he directly experienced and things he heard from Sarup Damodar. That was part of his bhajan, and his bhajan altogether took 22.5 hours daily, and he did not budge or deviate from those items. He did them every day, so much so it said it's as if they were etched in stone. And in one of the previous shows, I credited these stories to Rupa Goswami, and that was incorrect. That was incorrect. Actually, it was Raghunath Das who was one day sitting near the kund, one of the kunds, chanting his rounds, and there was a tiger who had come to drink from the kund right next to him. So obviously there's great danger there. But Sanatan Goswami, when he came upon the scene, he saw Krishna was standing just in such a way, if he needed to, he would intervene. And Raghunath was aware of neither Krishna nor the tiger. He was just oblivious and chanting. And so Sanatan told him that you should build a hut for yourself, because you can't impose upon Krishna to come and look out for you. And then on another occasion, I'm not sure if it was Sanatana, it might have been someone else, came and Raghunath was chanting in the sun. The Vrindavan sun is beastly in the summer. It's like 120, 125, and it'll kill you. It'll fry your brain like eggs on a skillet. And Raghunath was out in the sun, bareheaded, chanting, and and Radharani was standing over him, holding her sari to provide shade. And she herself was exposed, so she was perspiring profusely. And at this point, they said, Raghunath, you've got to build yourself a hut, because you cannot take service from Radha and Krishna. Our job is to give service and not to take service. So finally, they built him a hut. It was a place called Arista Gram. So I think that's the story I just told right there. One of the Goswamis doesn't say it was Sanatan the first time. But the second time just says it was one of the Goswamis. So they were living in Radhakund area. He had his bhajan kutir, his little hut. Krishnadas Kaviraj came. And it's at this point when Krishnadas Kaviraj is living with Raghunath Das that Krishnadas is noting. He's the author. He's been designated as the author of Lord Chaitanya's biography. And particularly he concentrates on Nilachala Leela. Now, Lord Chaitanya spent the first 24 years of his life in Bengal. The second 24 years of his life he spent in Jagannath Puri. So the first 24 years is chronicled in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Vrindavan Das Thakur does a pretty good job of talking about Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes. But it is Krishnadas Kaviraj who chronicles the Puri past. He also has a section about the childhood passing, but mostly the gap he's filling is Lord Chaitanya's last 24 years in Puri. And he's getting that information from Raghunath because they're living together. And as I said, Raghunath would speak 3.5 hours every day to anyone that would want to come and listen about Chaitanya Leela. But Raghunath, at this time, Radhakund, the sacred ponds of Radha and Krishna, were just little tiny ponds. And he wanted to make them bigger, and he wanted to clean them out. But it was a huge job, and it was going to take a lot of money. Meanwhile, a very rich merchant had made a pilgrimage to Badrinath, and he prayed to Narayan for Narayan's blessings. And Narayan came to him in a dream, and he said, if you want my blessings, you go to Vrindavan, you find Raghunath Das, and you do what he asks you to do. So this man, when Raghunath had put aside the ideas being too grandiose, not practical, and then all of a sudden this man comes and he says, Badri Narayan sent me to you, what should I do? And so Raghunath took it, and he was sent directly by God, and so a great expenditure was made, but this is the Radhakund as it is today. 500 years ago, it was just a little pond. And on the other side, you see that little dividing there, on the other side is Shyamakund. And that's a story for another slideshow, but these are the two most holy and special places in the universe. On the banks of the Radhakund, while they were excavating, there were 5 trees. And one day, and those trees were going to be cut down because they were in the way. And one day, in a dream, Yudhisthira came to Krishna's coverage and said, we are the 5 Pandava brothers, and we are staying here in the form of these trees just to be near the sacred place. Please do not cut us down. So then Raghunath forbade the cutting down of the trees, and that's why the shape of the kund is a little weird in some places, because they had to go around where the tree was. Now here's a small temple, Kundeshwara Mahadev Temple. It's of a pyramid shape. And there, these little deities here are deities that Raghunath Das Goswami discovered Radha Krishna deities during the excavation of Radhakund, and they were installed in this local temple. So these are his daily practices, which we mentioned were etched in stone. He never deviated from them. He would do 10,000 rounds, 10,000 mantras a day. Different versions. Here it says 1,000 times he prostrated himself before Vaishnavas. In another version, it said 2,000 times a day. And I think Prabhupada also said 2,000 times a day he would lie down like a stick, offering obeisances to other Vaishnavas. And then 3 hours he would narrate Gaur Leela. Twice daily he would bathe in the Radhakund, and then he engaged night and day in Shmaranam. One time, he was in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he was just sitting there in the physical world, but his spirit was actually in Vrindavan, and he was one of the manjaris, one of the gopis, and he was cooking, and he made some sweet rice, and he offered to Radha and Krishna, and they took a little bit of it, and then it was put aside as prasadam. So in his meditation, he tasted a little bit of this prasadam. He said, well, that's really good. That's really good. And in his meditation, he ate a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. Now, normally he wouldn't eat, you know, he'd hardly eat anything. But in the meditation, he ate, you know, maybe a couple cups, you know, which, and then he got sick. He ate it in his meditation, but he actually got sick physically. And then he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "This is impossible." He said, "Have you eaten any? You haven't eaten any sweet rice, have you?" He said, "Well, not physically. I ate some in the Leela." And he said, "Well, you're stopped up because of dairy." And he hadn't eaten any on this dimension, but he ate it in Krishna Leela, and then that. And then he had to go to the doctor to get his belly fixed. And then one time, one of the Vrijavasis, his name was Das, he brought a leaf. They were eating some whey or something, and he brought a leaf of whey from somewhere. And Raghunath Das says, "Where did you get this leaf from?" Because it was a bigger leaf than what they were used to. And then he mentioned he got it from the village of Chandravali. And Chandravali and Radharani are like always at odds. There's two camps, right-wing camp and left-wing camp. And because Raghunath Das was a Manjari in Radha's camp, he threw the leaf away and he said, "We do not take anything from Chandravali." "Nah, get out of here," you know, like that. And he exhibited transcendental anger. So he passed away in 1595. He lived in Vrindavan for 41 years. And for 16 years, he was with Lord Chaitanya in Puri. The Chaitanya Charitamrita was started in 1592, and so 3 years after that. So in those 3 years, Krishnadas Kaviraj had gotten everything that there was to get from Raghunath Das Goswami. This is his samadhi. This is where his body is buried underneath this. It is said he was the soul of humility. He was a poet and dramatist. He was expert in Sanskrit. And these are some of the works, you know, that you can purchase even today that are currently in print. The Dhanakeli Chintamani, where Krishna plays the role of a tax collector and he harasses Radharani all the time on the road. You know, they're taking their milk to market and he's harassing them, trying to get tax from them in the form of kisses and things like that, you know. And then the Mukta Charitam story of sewing pearls to decorate. There's actually a story where Krishna tells the gopis that Krishna one time he's planting, and they're saying, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm growing pearls." And they said, "Oh, you're silly, silly boy," you know. But sure enough, the pearls grew up from where Krishna planted. So then the gopis are thinking, "Oh, we're going to make a fortune, you know. We'll just plant and we'll get pearls." But the pearls weren't coming. So they had to go and beg to Krishna, and Krishna had his price and all like that, probably more kisses or something, you know, so that they could then also grow pearls like that. And this is Mana Shiksha. It's prayers to the mind, begging the mind never to deviate, to always fix yourself on the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna, the goal of life. He was 76 years old when he passed away on the banks of the Radhakund in 1493. And at his little bhajan kutir, the chanting goes on 24 hours a day since 1960. In 2001, Jai Krishna and I went to Radhakund and we sat for about an hour and a half, and we enjoyed the kirtan that was going on there. That's it. That's the story of Raghunath Das Goswami.